Blog Talk Radio.
Captain for this two-hour pleasure cruise, where on Saturdays we forget about all the issues in the world and we talk about things that really matter to Americans, and that is sports. If you do enjoy politics, you want to find out what the hell's going on in the world and what people actually think, I do have my show. I do come back from time to time. I was yesterday at noon. I like the noon hour. I don't know what more days I can make it, but I'm going to try to make it as many times as I can, and it's at noon. But anyway, we're not here to talk about that. Tonight, we're here to talk about sports. Now, Seth is on board. I'm going to bring him on board right now. Seth, my good friend, welcome aboard, and happy Saturday.
Yes, happy Saturday, and alhamdulillah.
Yes, as a matter, you know, and shalom, and God bless, and hallelujah, we finally made it to the Super Bowl. Oh, man, you know what I hate about the Super Bowl? As soon as it ends, it's like, man, we got no more football for 6 months.
No, what is really the cool moment this Super Bowl is really, we are looking up to a game that I think is only going to be determined within 43 seconds. These two teams offensively can just keep scoring. So I don't know what the final score is going to be, but I think it's going to be like 48-53, something like that.
Well, the over-under, the last time I checked, the over-under was 47.5. I don't know if it's still that now, but still, you're going to see that. But, you know, I think this is going to be one for the books because you do have the two right now. Right now, this season, you do have the two very best football teams in the world right now. And they're equal, but they're completely different. You know what I mean? I mean, they're both at this level, the top level, but it's gladiatorial because they offset each other. So whoever's going to win is going to have to do it with smarts. You're going to have to play smarter than the other guy, and it's, you know, you're just going to barely make it. I do not see a blowout at all, man. I see a close one.
It is going to be so fun because what you really look at is Patrick Mahomes is an anomaly. Travis Kelce is a weird thing that he's been able to work with. They got that going, and that's fine. But the San Francisco 49ers this year, this is a team. No, it doesn't even matter about Purdy and Mr. Irrelevant. It really doesn't. This is a true team.
Well, yeah, I do agree with you. And,
we're going to watch a really great Super Bowl. A really great Super Bowl.
No,
that's right.
It is, without a shadow of a doubt, one for the books. I think we're going to watch NFL history. I can't wait. I got my guacamole. I got my chicken. I mean, I got everything. Everything is set, man. I am ready to go. I'm getting up in the morning. I'm going to be baking these, not really cupcakes, but these tiny little cakes. And I got my guacamole. I'm going to be busy tomorrow. So anyway, let's find out what Viper thinks. Viper, my good friend, welcome aboard and happy Saturday.
Hey, good to be here. Always good to come to the end of the season and see it culminate in hopefully what should be a good Super Bowl. I don't think it's going to be a blowout by any means.
No. But, here's the thing. Everybody's expecting, because you have two offenses that just love to score touchdowns. Well, you got, two defenses that, they like to do their job too. So it may not be as high as we think because, I mean, it's definitely going to tell the defenses are going to win this game because you know the offenses are going to do the offensive stuff. But it's going to be who can stop each other the best. And that's what it really boils down to. This is going to be a defensive game 100%. Because you know the offense is there. I mean, I don't know. It's just how I see it. Let's see. I was looking for some other stuff. But, no, anyway, I mean, definitely one for the books. And, Seth, you got the numbers on that? I mean, is it still 47.5, the over-under?
No, I haven't even looked it up. At this point, to be honest.
I know where I checked it. I can find it.
Yeah.
I can find it.
It hasn't changed basically since it was started. So as far as I know, it's still 47.5.
But you understand what I'm saying is sometimes you think it should be a really explosive game and it doesn't always turn out to be because, both teams are you know, defensive. So, I mean, look.
I'm surprised people in the later games in the season, these defensive players, they haven't played in a long time. They're now available. Like, it's a really weird game. It's a really weird season. And when you see these guys show up at the end, you're like, they will destroy teams. Destroy them. Like, oh, yeah, I'm healthy 100% for the last 2 weeks, and we might be a playoff team. Yeah, we are a playoff team.
Well,
so,
again, points are going to be, you know, very valuable. So the first kicker that misses an extra point, it could be that could cost the game, that 1 point. That's how I see it. It's going to be kind of that close because both offenses are, they're different, but they're both effective.
Well, on that front, I think Kansas City has got the edge with the kicking game without question. I mean, San Francisco picked up the kid from Michigan. I can't remember his name right now.
Mui, something like that.
Jake Sumba, I don't know. Come on, Seth, you know who it is. Jake Moody, that's right.
His name is Moody. Yes.
Yeah. And I just think Harrison Butker's so much more reliable than Moody is. I mean, clear advantage to the Chiefs on that side of the game. Plus Kadarius Toney. I mean, you know, I just think that the Chiefs have far more weapons on special teams and are far more reliable where it counts. So yeah, I you're right, Steve. I mean, if it comes down to kicking, and who's going to miss an extra point, odds are it's going to be San Francisco.
Well, I'm not saying it's going to come down to the kicking necessarily. What I'm saying is going to be something like that. It's going to be that one mistake. That you have to play mistake-free football to win this game because it is you have two really, really good football teams. I mean, you can make an argument for either team to win. I'm going to San Francisco, absolutely all the way, 100%. Down. I said it at the beginning of the season that if they were isolated last year, if they were healthy, they were going to win the Super Bowl. Well, they're healthy.
Right.
They're hungry. You know, they're hungry. And, you know, these guys, a lot of these guys, all of these guys, it's a different San Francisco team than a few years ago. It's completely different now. It's a whole new team. And they're hungry. Well, the Chiefs are hungry, but they're, you know, I wouldn't say too cocky or too arrogant, but they're very confident. And why should they be? They're the best in their hands down. They are. So, you know, sometimes that hungriness and, you know, just be that extra little edge. But you never know with these games. I mean, San Francisco, we've seen, I mean, if they decide to, they come out and lackadaisy, you know, but the Chiefs don't really do that very often. I don't really see either one of these teams making a lot of mistakes, but somebody's going to screw up. And, you know, and it doesn't matter if it's in the first, third, or fourth quarter. That fumble, you know, that one fumble, the one whatever. So, no, it's going to be a lot of fun, though. I'm really looking forward to this. I think we're going to be, I think we're all going to be very pleased with whoever wins. I know the Chiefs, if they win, yeah, I'm going to be pissed, but, you know, still be a good game. I do have trivia tonight.
What? Are we talking Super Bowl the whole time? Do we want to talk about the NFL awards?
Well, I'm saying I got some trivia tonight. If you want to talk about the awards, we can talk about that too. But all I'm saying is you know, we got, you know, we're open for a lot of stuff. So I always got my trivia that I play. We don't need to play it right now, but if you want to.
Or we can intermingle it.
Right. If you want to. Why are we every year the Super Bowl? We always have trivia. That's been always got to have that. But I found some new stuff and some interesting stuff. But if you want to go into the awards, that's not a problem. Let me look it up. Have you seen the outcome, or have they given them out yet? Or
they were on Thursday night. Yeah,
I don't really pay too much attention to a lot of those awards, but did the MVP and all that? Viper?
I'm here.
Oh, no, I mean, I'm trying to find it. I don't pay too much attention to all that, but I mean, they've already given them out, the MVP and all that.
Oh, yeah. So the MVP went to Lamar Jackson. Not a huge shock there based on what everyone was saying all year. How do we feel about that?
Well, if you count the regular season, but, you know, I really wish it would include the postseason, because that's the whole point of the regular season, is to get into the postseason. And if you can't get your team into the postseason, or you get in and then you choke,
you was the number one seed. You did great.
No, right, yeah. No, he did. I mean, you can't take away from him. You can't.
But he played against Patrick Mahomes in the AFC Championship game, and he won.
Well,
Patrick Mahomes wins. Period. Does not matter.
Well,
no, I actually think the Chiefs defense won that game, but.
No, but Lamar Jackson is only chance to really get back to a Super Bowl. Patrick Mahomes beat him. Flat out. Doesn't even matter, man.
Well, would you go with
I don't know
Mahomes
how to say it. I don't know how to say it. I don't.
Well, Mahomes' numbers don't really hold up during the year. I mean, and sadly enough, Mahomes is so good that numbers for anyone else would be a breakout year. For Patrick Mahomes, it's pedestrian. I mean, that's just what we've come to expect out of him.
Right.
Well,
but
I mean,
you know what was shocking is that Dak Prescott was one of the finalists for this award. And I'm just like,
why?
I never heard about Dak Prescott during the year. I never was wowed by Dak Prescott during the year. I mean, he has some decent numbers. But in terms of an MVP, I don't see why he was even a finalist.
Right.
Well, they had to put somebody in there, and, you know, but I mean, if you're going to, you know, why have a finalist when it's, you know, it's kind of obvious. I mean, look at Tua had a pretty good year until they stopped winning. Allen had a pretty good year until they stopped winning. Even the guy Stroud there in Houston. I mean, overall, though, I mean, if you were going to pick by everything that was done during the regular season, then, yeah, I think you have to go with Jackson. He did have a phenomenal year. But you know. So who won it in the NFC?
Oh, there is no split conference. It's the entire league.
Oh, it's just the – oh, okay.
Yeah, because Dak Prescott's NFC, so. But,
oh,
yeah,
right.
Next on the list, AP Coach of the Year was Kevin Stefanski from Cleveland.
Well, if you look at it, I mean, he did have problems, and he had to dig a guy up that was out in his backyard with his brother throwing a pigskin around. Get him out of retirement and what he had to go through with the quarterback and with all the injuries and, you know, jail sentences and this and that and everything else, lawsuits. Yeah, I guess, you know, one could make an argument. Whenever,
well,
yeah, I don't really.
I want you to listen to this, okay? I'm not discrediting Kevin Stefanski and what he did with his situation with all the injuries. I mean, to make the playoffs was pretty impressive. But he also had Jim Schwartz put the number one defense on the field for him. He also had Myles Garrett, the AP Defensive Player of the Year. I don't know how much you know he has to do with the defensive side of the ball, but when you have the number one defense, you always have a chance to win. And while it might have been a little bit of a train wreck with injuries on the offensive side of the ball, you know, Jim Schwartz, who put together the top defense in the league, basically saved that team's bacon. Do I discredit it? No, but sorry. I don't see how anyone in the league could nominate anyone but Dan Campbell. I don't see it.
Well, you got Dan Campbell. You got the guy from Miami. I mean, absolutely. And Dan Campbell, I would give it to Dan Campbell over absolutely.
I mean, the first playoff win in 32 years times two. You did it twice. And let's be honest here. If there wasn't two dropped balls by Josh Reynolds, the Lions are in the Super Bowl this week.
Yep.
And they went from not even a playoff team to a half away from the Super Bowl. I don't know how much more criteria you need to fill if you're talking about a turnaround and you're talking about someone who started like 1-14. And 2 years later, you're two quarters from the Super Bowl, two catches away from the Super Bowl. I don't know what more criteria you need to do.
Well, they did the same thing with the Giants coach, Vrabel, last year. I mean, they gave him Coach of the Year. I mean, one could argue that whatever. And
and what did he do? Yeah.
And then, you know, that was, I don't know, that was kind of a fluke. But now the Giants are going to be, they're going to end up firing him anyway because the Giants are going to be a mess. What's his name? Oh, come on. They're running back. Oh, God.
Saquon
Barkley. Yeah, he's, you know, he's a free agent. He wants all this money. I wouldn't pick him up. He's a troublemaker. Get rid of him. You know, start over. You know, you're going to have to, you know, either draft a quarterback or stick with Vito. You know, I'd keep the kid. See what you can do with him. You don't have to waste another draft pick on a quarterback that may or may not be, you know, worth a damn. He's starting to learn the offense, this and that. The team likes him. The crowd loves him. New York loves him. You know, keep him. See what you can do with him. Build a team around him. You know, and if he doesn't work out this year, we'll then draft next year. So, you know, I don't know. I'm not the GM or the coach, but.
Let's talk about one more Cleveland Brown who got an award. I think we can debate this. Okay, Joe Flacco gets the Comeback Player of the Year award.
Well, I hope, yeah.
No, he got it. But he really didn't play a whole season, did he?
He came in, what, week 7 or 8, I think. So I think he played half a season. I think he played.
I think he came in later.
Just the right amount. No, I think it was week. They talked about it week 7, then he came in week 8. I thought it was week 8. Well, I don't know. No, you're right. Maybe he just made the cutoff, man. Half the season.
He had five starts to end the season.
Oh, that's it? I thought it was more than that. Okay, I was wrong.
Nope.
Well?
Nope. And I'm sorry, but in my opinion, you had DeMar Hamlin from Buffalo. You had Matthew Stafford. You had Tua. You had Baker Mayfield. I don't see how DeMar Hamlin, considering his injury, or Baker Mayfield doesn't win this. In my opinion, those are my top two. Baker Mayfield was washed up. I mean, he was nothing. A backup for the Rams when Stafford was injured, and then he gets let go. And then Tampa Bay picks him up, and he leads them to second-round playoffs?
Yeah, he beats the Eagles.
DeMar Hamlin was dead on a field? Come on. What? Flacco played 5 games. I don't see this.
Well, yeah, see, that's why I don't get into all these awards, because they're so, you know, like when you get to a certain level, like with these two teams, you can't say one is the best, even if one of them wins by a bunch. I mean, because they are what they are. Like, oh, who's the best guitar player? Who's the best this? Once you get to that level, you know, unless you're going to go by who's the best home run hitter, you know, or the best, you know, who's got the most yards and all this stuff, which I do got some good stuff in here. But, yeah, and it's all political half the time, too. And, you know, but anyway, what else we got? What other awards we got?
Well, McCaffrey got Offensive Player of the Year. I think that was a that was a offshoot to give Lamar the MVP. So we got to give McCaffrey something. McCaffrey and Purdy got the Air and Ground Players of the Year, which I don't even know what that award means.
Got an idea what it means. It's the combination quarterback and on the ground. Yeah, I know what it is. Yeah. They got one for air too. Ground to air.
Yeah, Myles Garrett, Defensive Player of the Year, said earlier that he's deserving of that. I mean, Rookies of the Year, both drafted by the Texans. Stroud got the offensive, and the edge rusher Will Anderson Jr. got the defensive. So, pretty good draft pick for the Texans, I think.
Hey, it's been a long time since the Texans were even in contention for the playoffs,
yep.
And you know, it's been what, 20 years now. Almost 15, at least, I think. Close to. Maybe 11. Been a while.
Yep.
Yeah, next year is going to be really different. We've got a lot of new coaches, a lot of new GMs.
Oh, boy.
And then we got the draft. We don't even know yet what it's going to be like. We still got trades to do. We got drafts. So we got all kinds of stuff that's So what happens next year? Like, if you wanted to pick who would win the Super Bowl next year, I mean, it would just be throw a coin up in the air. I mean, does Buffalo do it?
And you know what? This was a talking point that I have to say. When it was Tom Brady with the Patriots, you would have to say every single year they were in the –
AFC Championship game. What I was saying earlier, if I was a betting person, and I don't bet, but Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs being the AFC Championship game, bet on that. Bet on that. That's almost a for sure. I don't know how to say it any other way.
Well, I mean, you can make an argument. Does Buffalo, do they get off their schneid and even make it to the Super Bowl? Does Detroit, do they finally go that extra game? Do they make it? And if they do make it, do they win the Super Bowl? I mean, there's a lot of teams next year that are going to be really, really hungry. They came close. They were sniffing. Viper, I'm going to ask you something real quick here. Hold on, Seth. But Viper, Chicago, have they gotten rid of Fields yet? Is that trade? I keep trying to find stuff, and I can't find anything on it. But
what trade are we talking about?
Fields to the Raiders.
Did he get traded?
I don't know. Well, see, I heard a little bit about it. I read some stuff about it. And everybody's got Chicago. Their number one pick is going to be a quarterback. So I'm thinking they got to get rid of this dude. But it started out as it was like almost final, and then it petered out. So, but do they have to wait? When does the trade even start? When can you start trading? Is it immediately after the season is over? After the Super Bowl?
I think so.
I don't think
there's anything. The free agent, there's a window of time for the free agency stuff. But as far as trading goes, I mean, I think it's wide open right now.
Well, they may just flat out release him. It might be cheaper that way. And then let him go free agent. But
this is going to be interesting what they do. I can get into all the quarterbacks that are coming out. I watch a lot of college football, too, so I can get into all of that nonsense if we want to one day. Probably not this week, but in the future.
Well, no, I dig all that stuff. You know, all the young guys coming up, and the Senior Bowl was on last week, and I watched a little bit of it. Wasn't bad. I saw some pretty good stuff, and you know, that's a chance to showcase, you know, another showcase. And it was a good game. It wasn't like the Pro Bowl. They were actually playing football, tackling, everything. I mean, you know, I never really saw the Senior Bowl. I've heard of it, but I never really saw it. But yeah,
right.
I do like football from, you know, time to time. But that that new what is it, UFL, United Football League. When does that start?
Yeah, that's going to be, I don't know exactly when it starts, but I know it's the combination of XFL and the USFL.
Right. Now, what are the rules? Is it set up pretty much like the NFL? They don't have any, do they have?
I haven't looked.
Well,
I did like
the
USFL rules, though. I like some of those rules USFL did, but yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be good for football.
Well, I hope they keep the kicking, because there could be a guy that maybe, you know, this, you bring him up from college and you realize, you know, he still needs some work. Well, let's bring him down to the spring league and let him get some work in there, and then, you know, you move these guys around, you can draft from the UFL. So it's basically almost like a minor league, as far as I know how they're setting it up. Am I right in that, or?
Yeah, and I think it's going to be good, too. I mean, the thing the NFL is trying to do right now is grow the game internationally. And unlike the now defunct, I think it's defunct, the NFL Europe League, you know, this is a chance for a league to develop maybe some foreign players that didn't grow up playing Pee Wee and, you know, Rocket and, you know, footballs as kids. You know, they didn't have that in their country. Just like we don't have, for years, we were so behind in soccer because we didn't have any youth development programs. So, yeah, it's going to be good for that, too.
Well, you know, I like it because some of these kids are just not quite ready for the NFL. They're still growing. They haven't quite matured physically yet. You put them in this league, you get a year, maybe two, whatever, and then they bulk up and they get better and they get experience. Then they get to the NFL and they're that much better off. So instead of now, guys got to go sell insurance or become a high school football coach or, you know, something like that. So, and we've got football when there ain't football. So, you know, there's that to look forward to. How many teams are there? Do you know that? Let me look this stuff up. Do you know that, Viper?
Yeah, I'm looking that up right now. Well, I know the I think the USFL has 18.
You know the amount of football teams, I think it's 32 in the NFL.
Houston Roughnecks play, let's see, United Football League. Okay, we got it here. Schedule. Let's see the schedule. Okay, we got the Birmingham Stallions, the Arlington Renegades.
Yeah, and the Birmingham Stallions, my team is. I've been with them since the beginning.
I've written the names. The Arlington Renegades, the St. Louis Battlehawks, the Michigan Panthers, D.C. Defenders, San Antonio Brahma Bulls, Showboats, Houston Roughnecks. So that's 2, 4, 6, 8. So there's 8 teams. Okay.
Right. And between the combination of the two leagues, they brought in the Michigan Panthers. No. That's fine. That's going to be my second favorite team. And that was my first favorite team back in the day. And then with these new leagues, it was Birmingham. And now I have to choose between things. And now it's probably going to eventually be Michigan and then Birmingham. And that's kind of effed up. Just saying.
I kind of like the Memphis Showboats. I kind of like that. Memphis Showboats. They're pretty cool, I guess. Kind of, and the Birmingham Stallions. I don't know. The Renegades is kind of, I don't know. Panthers is boring.
Oh, I like some of the coaches, too. You got Bob Stoops coaching Arlington. Wade Phillips. You remember Wade Phillips?
Yeah.
Oh, God, Wade Phillips. I thought he's dead.
No, San Antonio. He's coaching the San Antonio team.
Oh, good for him.
Skip Holtz coaching the Birmingham team.
How about Fisher? Is he just coaching one of the
teams? No.
No. Hey, I have a real question based upon this new league, which is really cool, in my opinion. But any head coach that happens to win this season, next season when there's probably, 6 to 8 to 10 jobs as head coaches in the NFL, if you won this league, are you a candidate to be actually a head coach in the NFL next year? Maybe?
I think it should be considered.
Right?
I think it should be considered, but I don't think the owners would go for that. That's just my opinion.
No, but what if this league really does become the minor league of the NFL?
And
it's not there right now. It's not there right now, and it's okay. But I'm just saying, if they really do it, then you can actually create head coaches, right?
Mm-hmm.
Starting quarterbacks or linebackers or whatever.
Well, they got a female head coach. She used to be a gymnast coach and now is a football coach. They got two of them, Amanda O'Leary as well. What?
A gymnast? We're not talking about football. We're talking about gymnast.
That can't be. It says Coach UFL, four more. They got Wade Phillips, Jim Haslett, Bob Stoots, Kevin O'Sullivan, Mike Holloway, Ron Zook, Ray. Oh, what's Ray Greaves up here for? Oh, this is, what the hell? Oh, no. This don't make no sense. I don't know what they're talking about here. Well, anyway, it's mixed. So I don't think, no, the women are not coaches for that. So I don't know what the hell that's all about. But nevertheless, I'm trying to find, let's see what the schedule is. Where was that schedule again? Opening day. Okay, here we are. March 30th. Oh, okay. I thought it was earlier in March, but so that's starting right around baseball. I thought they started a little bit earlier than baseball. I kind of wish they would have. March 1st, whatever, first Sunday in March. So.
No, and to be honest, Keith, like the beginning of baseball, spring training, all this, for a baseball fan, it is one of the most magnificent times of the year. Seriously.
Well, we used to count down pitchers and catchers. We, you know, how many days?
Pitching and catching reports. Seriously.
Yeah. Pitching and catchers. You know, generally report right around Valentine's
Day. Normally 10 to 14 days at a time, but I think the earliest you could do is 14 legally, but general was 10. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
that should be interesting, though. No, I mean, at least you got something. So, but I used to like having NASCAR. NASCAR is not auto racing anymore. I really miss it, too, but I can't watch it when they're not racing. Pathetic, but anyway, while we got some time here, that's a pretty good trip. Some was good. Some was, you know, interesting in that you would think it would be something, but it isn't. For example, we'll start off with this one. Who has the longest field goal in Super Bowl history? How many yards?
Not
two
Scott parts. Norwood.
You can get half of a 2 point. So if you get the name, but you don't get the yards, or you get the yards and you don't get the name.
Wait. This is a really intricate question. Please elaborate once again. Please.
The longest field goal in.
The longest field goal.
And for who did it and for how many yards?
The longest field goal in postseason or regular season?
Super Bowl.
Oh, Super Bowl. All right. Yeah. And Viper, go ahead. You can go ahead ahead of time because.
Well, start with the yards. But try to guess yards. Just guess how many yards. What is
right.
The yard?
I know Justin Tucker in regular season 66 was pretty good.
Yeah, but that was to beat the Lions.
Right.
But
I'm gonna say Adam Vinatieri from 53 yards.
Ooh.
You're close on part of it. Very close.
Really?
On,
that's a blind guess.
Very close
nope.
On part.
And I love what he just said. I think he went first. And I go, Adam Vinatieri, 57.
Well, try to guess the yards. See how many yards do you think it is? Just how many yards is the longest field goal?
I think it's 53.
Okay, and Jeff?
Well, I told you 57. So.
Okay, well, the longest field goal in Super Bowl history, which I gave the Bills the lead for about
51.
It was Steve Christie for 54 yards. I always thought in the Super Bowl that would be
Steve
Harder.
Wow.
You know, I thought it would be more. That.
No, I mean, I'm flabbergasted. That's crazy.
Yeah, 54. Yeah, I went over that with my little brother last week, you know, looking for trivia. And I said, I wonder what the longest field goal is. And we were both thinking, you know, it's got to be 58, 57. You know, it's got to be close to 60, if not, no, 54. So, and you're right, the Chiefs could break that today. We could be, I'm telling you, tomorrow we're going to see something historical, NFL history, maybe even American history. Who knows? But, all right.
Steve Christie from who? The Bills?
Yeah. Christie.
Oh, wow.
It was on 94, January 3rd. He gave him the lead like 1 minute. It was in the first quarter. And then, Cowboys went to work, and that was it. Turn out the lights, the party just
game over.
Yeah, just it. All right. Well,
how about them Cowboys?
Let's try the longest punt. See, this one here has got the longest of everything. Longest of everything in the Super Bowl. So the longest punt. So you can get, you know, 2 points to get the guy's name or how many yards. I'll give you a hint. It was in 2019.
This is a
tough one. It was 2019. Super Bowl, the longest punt.
Yeah.
Try to get the yards.
This is hard. The punters aren't household names. You realize that.
But yeah, that's why you'll never know the name. But the yards is what I found.
I'm going to say 72.
Hey, Seth?
Oh, in a Super Bowl, I'm going to go 58 yards.
Nope, you both are a little far away on either side. 65 yards. Johnny Hecker.
Who?
So you think it would be like a, you know, Viper, you would think it would be like a 70. You would think you would have these records. There are some real, the longest records. There are some. that are phenomenal. So here's one. This is one that I love. Who actually has, well, it's actually the longest touchdown run, but it's both. The longest, we'll go with this one. The longest interception return, and for how many yards? I'll give you a hint. It was 2009.
Jeez.
You're going to remember this when I tell you if you don't remember it, but...
I'll say...
It was Cardinals and Steelers that were playing. I'll give you that.
Definitely not Deion Sanders, then.
Nope.
I was going to say Old Man Willie from the Raiders.
Old Man Willie. Sorry.
I don't know, Seth, you go first on this one.
Well, try to guess how many yards the longest interception return. It's a return, so it was for a touchdown.
Oh, I'm going to say 101 yards.
You're close.
102.
I'll say 99.
No, you both split it again, 100 yards. Now, this one, see, you'll probably remember this. The Arizona Cardinals with Kurt Warner are first and goal on the 1 yard line. Well, Kurt Warner throws an interception, like we all know what happened with Seattle. The guy ran 100 yards, James Harrison, the Pittsburgh Steelers, 100 yards for a touchdown.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was one of the most magnificent moments I've ever been as a Steelers fan.
Oh, of course, that's Steelers
and,
history.
As a Steelers fan, defense has always been something, right? It's always been something. And then you saw that, and you're like, we're going to win the Super Bowl because of that play.
Yeah,
and
Kurt Warner,
fan,
so bad for him.
It was awesome. I mean, I was like, thank you. Good night. Bye-bye.
You know, you felt bad for Kurt Warner because he's not a guy that kind of does that. You know, and, well, evidently, Harrison, he snuck up behind him real quick. It was one of those that, you know, he just happened to be at the right or wrong place at the right or wrong time, depending on...
And Kurt Warner is one of the best quarterbacks in history.
By
the way,
that's what I'm saying. He doesn't do that. You know, that's what made it even.
No, he tried to get a cheat. He tried to get a cheat, and he didn't get it. And someone picked up on his cheat, and that was it was cool.
Here's one. What is the longest kickoff return? The longest kickoff return. So the kickoff return for a touchdown, and it was on February 3rd, 2013.
Oh, I want to say 102 yards.
It was the Ravens and 49ers.
I'm going to say 102
yards. 102
yards.
Okay, Viper?
96.
96, okay. Well, it was actually 108 yards.
Wow.
By Jacoby Jones.
Wow.
And that was I think that was, wasn't that the Super Bowl where the lights went out for about 30 minutes or something? I think it was.
I think so. Yeah, you're right.
Lights
went out and so did Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah. Longest rush, longest touchdown pass. Oh, this I found kind of interesting. This is kind of interesting. The longest touchdown pass, now you got to get, well, we'll go with the how many yards, but if you can remember who the names are. So the longest touchdown pass for how many yards?
In the Super Bowl.
In the Super Bowl, I'll give you a big hint. Not real household names. This was in 2004. It was the Patriots and the Panthers.
Oh, my God. I'll say 82 yards.
Okay. Seth?
What's the question again?
Longest touchdown pass for how many yards?
In the Super Bowl?
In any Super Bowl. But happened. This one happened in 2004 with the Panthers and 49ers.
I'm going to go 92.
Okay, it was 85 yards. It was, I can't remember, I could never been able to pronounce a guy's name. I think he was a backup for a while, and he didn't last very long. Jake Del Home or Hom to Mush.
Jake Del Home, yeah.
Yeah, Del Home. Mohsin Mohammed. Mohsin Mohammed for 85 yards. Yeah.
Never heard 41
yard field goal by Vinatieri, which won the game. So, all right, we got other good stuff here. All right. I think we've done this one. Who holds the record for the most rushing yards in a single Super Bowl? Is it Marcus Allen, Timmy Smith, Emmitt Smith, or Franco Harris? What player holds the
Timmy
record?
Timmy Smith.
That's
my guess.
That's right. Right on the money. We all
he
know.
Ran that, they ran that counter gap, and he went crazy.
Okay, here's one. I mean, this is one of those that, you know, you got to read, you know, maybe you might get it, maybe you might not. Maybe you might know it. But who kicked the very first field goal in Super Bowl history? Was it Don Chandler, Mike Mercer, Jan Stenerud, or Gene Mingo? I like that name, Mingo.
I don't know. I'd say Jan Stenerud. Jan Stenerud.
Yeah, Jan Stenerud. Well, no, it was Mike Mercer, Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, how could I forget that? I've never even heard of Mike Mercer. I'm joking.
I know it's one of those that, you know, it is, you just guess. It's one of those that you know you're playing like a drinking game and somebody just goes, yeah, Mike Mercer. Okay. Oh yeah, you won. Oh yeah.
I took the bait on Jan Stenerud.
Okay, who scored the longest touchdown? Well, we already covered that. That was... what team holds the record for the most turnovers, forced turnovers in Super Bowl? What team holds the record for the most forced turnovers in the Super Bowl?
So take away.
Is it the Ravens? Is it the Cowboys, the Vikings, or the Steelers? It was Super Bowl 27.
Got to be the Steelers. Ravens weren't even around back then.
Super Bowl 27. I can't give you, but it's Ravens, Cowboys, Vikings, or Steelers.
Seth, what's your guess?
Seth? Hold on, Lou. I'll get you in just a second. Hold on, Lou. Seth, are you with us? Seth? Oh, I think we lost him. Well, all right, let's bring on Lou. Lou, my good friend, welcome aboard. Happy Saturday.
Thanks. Happy free Super Bowl.
Yep. Well, we're doing Super Bowl history right now. So what team holds the record for the most forced turnovers in Super Bowl history? The Ravens, Cowboys, Vikings, or Steelers?
I'm going to say the Vikings.
You can go the Vikings. Okay, well, it was in Super Bowl 27. Dallas forced a record 9 turnovers, 4 interceptions, and 5 lost fumbles to win over the Buffalo Bills.
And they still won anyway.
Blowout.
Yeah. No, they forced the fumble. They forced 9 fumbles against Buffalo. And you're going to fumble, you're going to cough up 9 times? Yeah, you're not going to win the game. Okay, here's a good one. Kind of a odd question, but I got some other good ones. Who was the headliner for the first Super Bowl halftime show? The very first Super Bowl. So this is in 1967.
You mean the halftime?
Yeah, at halftime. They had other stuff, too. They had marching bands, a couple different marching bands, but they had a headliner. And the headliner was either Ella Fitzgerald, the Three Stooges, Elvis Presley, or Doc Severinsen. If you don't know who Doc Severinsen was, he was the band leader and trumpet player for Johnny Carson.
Johnny Carson.
Very great trumpet player, by the way. All right, Viper, was it Ella Fitzgerald, the Three Stooges, Elvis Presley, or Doc Severinsen?
I'm going to go with the venerable Doc Severinsen.
All right. And Seth, are you with us?
Yes.
Okay, who was the first headliner? Ella Fitzgerald, Three Stooges, Elvis, or Doc Severinsen?
Doc.
Okay. Lou.
Even though it was before my time, I think I remember hearing was Doc.
So you're going to go with Doc Severinsen as well?
Yes.
Well, you are all incorrect. It was the Three Stooges. I mean,
oh my God.
They were barely alive. I mean, I read that and I went, you've got to be kidding me. But they had 2 college marching bands. They had 2 men in jetpacks and 300 pigeons. So that must have been one hell of a show. Oh, God, no wardrobe.
Okay.
Malfunction. You know, it was different back then. All right, now here's an interesting one.
Yes.
What Super Bowl was the first Super Bowl to feature the now Y-shaped goalposts? Was it Super Bowl IV, Super Bowl X, Super Bowl II, or Super Bowl VII? What was the first Super Bowl to feature the Y-shaped goalpost? Super Bowl 4, 10, 2, or 7? Viper, you got any idea?
Well, for those at home, we're talking about the goalposts that don't actually sit in the end zone, right?
Right. With the ones where they are now.
Okay.
Before, remember they had the
right.
Two... Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the guys would run crossing patterns into the post. Yeah, those are the good old days. I think I'm going to say 7.
Okay. Seth,
I'm going to go with 10.
You're going to go with 10. Okay, Lou?
I'm going to go with 4.
You're going to go with 4. Well, you are all incorrect. It was Super Bowl II. I thought it was later too, Viper. And when I read that and I go,
yeah.
Well, I thought it was a little bit later, but evidently it wasn't. Huh.
Yeah.
All right.
Wow.
No, we already covered that one. Okay, which quarterback and receiver hookup for the longest completion in Super Bowl history? So which quarterback and receiver together had the longest completion in Super Bowl history? Was it John Elway and Rod Smith? Jake Doham and Mohsen Mohamed? Oh, wait a minute. We already covered that.
I was going to say, we know this answer.
Yeah.
Okay. Who was the only player with 3 interceptions in a Super Bowl game? Defensive player. So Mel Blount, Rodney Harrison, Larry Brown, or Rod Martin? Mel Blount, Rodney Harrison, Larry Brown, or Rod Martin? Viper, who is the only player to have 3 interceptions in a Super Bowl?
I'm going to say Rod Martin.
Okay. Seth?
The person that is going to make me shine is going to be amazing. And you know what? I never make these predictions, and it will just be known.
Okay, so are you going Mel Blount, Rodney, or Larry Brown, or Rod Martin?
Oh, my God.
All right. Okay, I got your answer.
I think Seth's running for office. I think he said a lot of nothing. A lot of words that equal nothing. He's got to be running for office.
Dude, I'm a libertarian.
Yep. No, I'll vote for you, Seth. I speak political ease, so I know what you're saying. All right, Lou. Who's the only player with 3 interceptions in the Super Bowl? Mel Blount, Rodney Harrison, Larry Brown, or Rod Martin?
I'm going to go Harrison.
That was my next pick.
Who'd you say?
Rodney. Rod.
I can barely hear you, Lou. Barely hear you at all.
He said Harrison.
Yes.
Oh, he said Rodney Harrison. Okay, well, it was in Super Bowl 15. Linebacker Rod Martin intercepted Philadelphia quarterback Ron Jaworski. Just 3 times in a Super Bowl. I like Jaworski. I can never pronounce his name right, but I liked him. He was kind of funny.
Jaworski.
Jaworski. I can never pronounce his name. I can never pronounce those ski names. I just called him Jaws. No, I liked him. He was a funny dude.
No, kind of the funny thing is everybody just kept calling him Jaws.
Right.
But you know what?
Yeah.
Does work, dude. You know, and I'm telling you, he really was a great quarterback. And that year, he played against the Raiders in that Super Bowl. The Philadelphia team was so highly favored that it was supposed to be a blowout their way. Talk amongst yourselves.
No, you're right. But anyway, how many times, since we're having a rematch this year, how many times have there been a rematch in the Super Bowl? 5, 7, 9, or 10 times?
I'm going to say 5. 5.
You'll say 5, Viper?
I'll say 9.
Okay. Lou?
5.
5, 7, 10, or 9 times have there been a rematch in the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
9 times.
9 times. Wake up and smell the coffee, Mrs. Bueller. Lou, what do you got?
5.
5. Well, it was 9 times.
Wow.
Yeah.
9.
Hey, let me try and guess them.
So,
Let me try and guess them.
Oh, man, I don't have that. I did have that. I did actually have that.
I bet
that
we could figure out. Early days, we got Steelers-Cowboys, Niners-Bengals.
Cowboys-Bills.
Bills-Cowboys.
Bills,
yep.
Bengals and 49ers, you already said that. Well, Chiefs and 49ers. Oh, I had that today when I read that, and I don't have it.
No, whatever you guys say, though, this is kind of funny, like crazy, but it's real. You know what I mean?
I think it was the Broncos had it, too. Yeah, Broncos and Giants. I don't know. But, no, it happens. I mean, not very often. And, hey, look, we had it the year with the Rams. The Buccaneers, they played the Chiefs. And then the Rams played the Bengals. Well, it just so happened that both teams were playing in their home team and their home field, and they both won. And that was 2 years in a row. Tampa, then the Rams. That was kind of cool. But the Raiders, it's going to be a long time before they play anywhere near a Super Bowl. We get the playoffs. Playoffs.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me? Playoffs?
you guys seen that commercial when he's in? Playoffs.
They are. They thought that was.
Yeah.
All right. Well, who caught, for all the Buccaneers, who caught Tom Brady's final Super Bowl touchdown pass? I don't have a bunch of names. I just got the answer. Huh?
Gronk.
Okay. Seth? Who
Mike
caught
Evans.
Tom Brady's final Super Bowl
Mike
pass?
Evans. Mike Evans.
Okay. All right. Okay. Well, it was Antonio Brown before he went.
That was my next guess. Dang it.
That guy, that poor guy, I mean, he had a lot of talent, man, and he was a good player. He just lost his fucking mind, that guy.
Yeah.
What a shame.
Hey, who's crazier, Antonio Brown or Chad Ochocinco?
That's an easy one.
That guy is off his nut, too, poor bastard.
That's an easy one.
Speaking of commercials, I have a trivia question of my own.
What's the worst of all time?
No.
Okay.
The Super Bowl this year, commercial cost is $7 million per commercial. What was it in the first Super Bowl, 1967?
$50,000.
Yeah, I remember seeing this before. I think I had that last year. Oh, I can't remember. I think it was like 10,000 or something like that. I'll say that. Probably
he
less.
Says 10. Lou, what do you say?
50,000.
Beth.
2 million dollars.
In the first Super Bowl?
Yes.
I understand. I understand what he
meant. Okay. The answer is $37,500.
Wow, that's still a lot of money, man.
That's
a
more loss.
$37,000 in 1967, that wasn't chump change.
No,
that's a pretty good chunk of change, yeah.
Well, it was also advertised on both NBC and ABC. Because one had the AFC and one had the NFC.
Right.
So, and you know what? Both of them, they lost all of the recordings, very little that is left of the first Super Bowl. And what, I think it was NBC, they taped over it. They taped over some cockamamie, you know, show, a local show of some sort. They taped over the Super Bowl, the first Super Bowl.
The Heidi Ball Part 2?
There isn't any more. The only footage of the Super Bowl is what people in the stands, if they had a camera, that's it. There's a couple of shots that they've seen, and it's very, very, very little. What a shame. They taped over it. Unbelievable. So who scored the very first touchdown in Super Bowl history?
I think I know.
Bart Starr.
Bart Starr.
Okay. So
I'm guessing.
Who scored the first touchdown in Super Bowl history?
I'll say Bart Starr.
No,
well,
it's not. It's Max McGee.
There you go. Bing, ding, ding, ding.
Max McGee, okay.
Give that man a
cigar.
Give him
a
cigar.
Everybody talks about Super Bowl history. Don't talk to me.
Oh, I missed one. See, it was getting hard. Cause see, I've done this every year, and I'm trying to get questions that I haven't gotten before. And it's getting harder and harder and harder. You know,
get older and older and older, they're the same things every year. And I'm only more proficient. So there's a good chance I might dominate. This is good. Keep going, Skeet.
Well, I'm running out. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, I'm running out of stuff that we already know the stuff, and I don't want to cover, you know, how much does a trophy weigh. But anyway, let me see if I can look up the prop bets. And I'm sure Taylor Swift has got she's in there, a few of them.
Oh,
like how many times do they show her? And
yes, I have to go outside and get some fresh smokes, but yes, keep going.
Let's see what some of these profits are. The coin toss, blah, blah, blah. But no, I mean, in Vegas, I mean, I would love to bet on some of those. I mean, hey, look, I mean, guy who gets first 10 yards for a field goal. I mean, they've got so many different kind of bets you could bet. You know, will they screw up the national anthem? How long is the national anthem?
Yeah.
I won $90 last year. I don't remember how. Doing one of those deals.
It is. Some of them are, and Fox had this a couple of years ago. I don't know if they still got it, but a friend of mine was using it, and he used to come on the show. His name was Lou too, and they've got questions. And they're very difficult. You know, who will be ahead by the third quarter, and just crazy stuff. And it's very difficult to figure out. You win pretty big. You know, betting is getting more and more and more and more and more popular. And you do it online now. I mean, they're advertising sports betting. Now they've got, Vegas now. Oh, Man, that's going to I got friends that live in Vegas, and they're already complaining. It's a mess.
See, when you talk about you have friends in Vegas, I have relatives in Henderson, which, if you know Henderson in Vegas, yeah, you are a gambler if you live out there in my family, period.
Yeah, well, one's an old shipmate, and the other is my old neighbor when I went to school. We were kids. We grew up. He was down the hill. We didn't have really neighbors, and we lived out in the country, but he was a close one. But, yeah, they say it's already, you know, it's a mess. And, you know, it's a shame because I've been to Vegas, and it's getting so big now. It's almost getting too big. But, oh, speaking of which, I looked that up of Oakland. Las Vegas. The Oakland A's, it looks like you've got both mayors. You've got everybody attacking the owner. And you got all these fans who are saying, we're going to boycott. Well, wait a minute. You've been boycotting for the past 15 years. You guys never showed up. And now the guy wants to move his team, and now you say you want to boycott? That deal, I don't know. It's not really that solid. I thought it was solid.
No.
But Oakland A's may not be going to Vegas. And, you know, they wanted to build them to share or build a new stadium that was north of Oakland.
Yeah.
But you got to do something to get out of that where you are. I mean, people can't make it there without, you know, with the gut fire.
They're going to stay in Oakland, huh? They might as well. They've got nobody left.
But, I mean, for the fans to act, oh, they're going to show up and tailgate in the parking lot but not go into the game. Well, where have you been for the past 15 years? You haven't been showing up at all.
Yeah, Donnie.
So, Viper, did you find out what is the real reason? I mean, they've got the area in Vegas to build the stadium. Is somebody not paying something somewhere? What is really the holdup?
You know, it's really hard to get a straight story right now. It's a lot of scuttle. You know, part of it is, you know, the stadium issue. Part of it is the ownership of the A's. The problem is we can't really get a straight story. I know there's a lawsuit now. I know the mayor of Vegas is involved. There might be some debate on getting the state to grant the money to get a stadium going. So I think there's a lot of forces. It's not as simple as we think it is. There's a lot of forces at stake from what I've read. So it's really complex. It's really probably a whole episode to go into, or a whole show to go into the details of it. But a lot of it has to do with the Nevada Senate and trying to get some of the votes for the appropriations to go through. It's really, really complex, and it's really confusing right now.
It seems like a no-brainer. I mean, you took the Raiders. Everything went smooth. You got a hockey team. Why not bring over the A's, you know, and just do it? Get it done. I don't know. Okay, is Reba McEntire?
Well, what's funny?
Go ahead, Viper.
Well, what's funny is the Nevada Teachers Union, a political action group, sued the state and the governor from the legality of the bill for $380 million in public money. And, you know, the teachers, I mean, what does the teachers union care? I mean, there's just a lot of stuff going on that is probably very much unforeseen. And in a way, you almost have to fault the state of Nevada for this, because they needed to make sure the path was clear. And clearly there's stuff going on in their backyard where it's not a clear path. And so, you know, it's like they always say in Congress, you don't have a vote unless you know the outcome. If you're an attorney, you don't ask the question of the witness on the stand unless you know the answer. And I think that's the mistake that Nevada's made, is that they didn't make sure the path was completely clear and all the T's are crossed and I's are dotted to bring the A's in, and now they've got a complete mess.
It sounds like you got too many people are wanting too many pieces of the pie. Everybody wants to get paid.
Yep.
Well, I mean, you had a unanimous vote of all the owners said it's okay if you move to Vegas. I think it makes perfect sense. Can the NFL itself step in and
no.
mediate, moderate?
No.
Well, that's a shame.
No, and now there's talk of the A's going to Portland.
Well, they got a long time ago, about 10 years ago. And I grew up right across the river from Portland, Oregon, right there, Vancouver,
right.
Washington. The Columbia River separates
Sorry
the
about
two.
That.
I grew up in Vancouver, the Portland Airport. You got 205 bridge, man, boom, you get there in 5 minutes. Swear to God, boom, boom, boom. Well, they've been wanting a team. The problem is Portland is a mess. It's really not much different than Oakland. It is run so bad. It is so crime-ridden. So it is horrible. I mean, it was parts of Portland was bad when I was a kid. And we knew not to really go into too many of these places. But now, my brother's saying he's an electrician. He's got to do all this stuff.
Well, let's talk about Oakland as something weird that other people really can't say. As an Oakland fan, as a Raiders fan, and it was the same field with the A's fan. That was a crap field to ever play on, ever. As a football person, to actually get tackled on this surface called second base with basically kitty litter, a Mueller effort. So that's all I'm saying, right?
I don't know. What a mess. It seems like a no-brainer. Portland, really, they don't really have, I mean, you're right there to Seattle, and it's a three-hour ride up I-5. Boom, it's simple to get there. It's easy. We drive up to Seattle all the time. So, you know, you're not really, you've got all those people that are Mariner fans, and a lot of people in Portland and Oregon are Mariner fans, because a lot of people in Vancouver are Trailblazer fans. So I don't know where they're going to get the people in that area. I don't know. Vegas seems like it's the only place they could really go to where they'd be prosperous. Can't go back to Philly.
Right.
Or Kansas City.
No, I mean, how many people can I throw? You know what I mean? Like, No, there's only so many. After 100, I would get tired.
Well, getting back to football, we have an important prop bet. What color boots is Reba McEntire going to wear? White is at 500 to 1. Black is at 200. Brown at 325. Red 350. White 500. We already said that. Blue 1000. And yellow, if she wears yellow boots, 1400. So you know what? I wish I knew Reba. I said, hey, baby, why don't you wear these ugly-ass yellow boots there, and I'll put...
Oh, I like Reba.
You know. God. Well, I hope she wears multicolored boots, and nobody wins.
Ooh.
Debo Samuel, big play parlay. Here's one for Jason Kelce. He's going to take his shirt off. I'm not betting. That's ridiculous.
Is that the Brandy Chastain?
Is it just me or did Jason Kelce on that during that game remind you of Hacksaw Jim Duggan?
Well,
he kind of reminded me of that guy on Revenge of the Nerds, that guy that, you know, the big...
Ogre.
You know,
Ogre. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. About that young fellas.
Hey, look, his brother's playing. He's retiring. He's drinking beer, dancing with Taylor Swift. I'd be taking my shirt off, too. What the hell? But as long as the Chiefs lose, it's going to be a glorious day. And
he's retired, man. He's living the sweet life. He's retired now.
Yeah, he's done, man. He's ready to party. You don't have to worry about drug tests or booze tests or showing up early. No, man. Yeah, he'll be about 400 pounds here a couple of months. Finally, let's find something else. Oh, God, more Taylor Swift. Everything Taylor Swift. Is this the Taylor Swift Bowl or is this the Super Bowl?
It's the Super Taylor Swift Bowl.
Yeah, right?
And Romeo said to Juliet, if you don't win, I'm leaving. Or Juliet with Romeo.
Well, before they cut us off by accident or anything, real quick-like, let's go around the horn for our picks. Seth, you got the numbers ready? I can find them. All right, hold on. I'll get them numbers. But no, I think we can all agree that this is going to be, it is billed to be one of the best Super Bowls in a long time, and it should be good because you've got two powerhouse teams, man. I mean, you couldn't have asked for two better teams to put in the Super Bowl. Now you've got true competition, man. Well, you got the veteran. You got to call him a veteran. You can't call him a rookie. Playing against the, you know, the veteran, the underdog, the Mr. Irrelevant. But like I said before, this is a completely different San Francisco team. I mean, offensively and defensively, coaching, everything. This is not your daddy's 49ers anymore. This is a solid team, man. Well, I mean, the Chiefs are solid too. So that's what just made it that much better. And if the Chiefs lose, it's going to be great. So they've got it right now. They've got the 49ers are favored by two. Wow.
Just two.
And the over-under is...
And the real crazy thing is if I was a betting person, I wouldn't bet on this game because either team can win this game. So no effing way.
Well, that's what Brother X said. He's not even making a pick. He said, you know, and it is true. I mean, it's just pick the team that you want to win because at this point, Viper, I mean, you could lay out all the analytics in the world. But analytics, I don't think really matter in here. It's heart and brain, I think, at this point, because both teams have the analytics. They've got the offense, they've got the defense, they've got the coaching, they've got the this, they've got the that, blah 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 blah. So they're relatively even. So it's as a coach, when you know you're coming into a game like this, Mike, what do you tell your team when you've got, you know that you are, you know, you got to just say equal with this team. So you know you don't have more weapons or they got less weapons or this or that and whatever. You're right there at the same level. What do you tell your team? How do you get them motivated to win this? Because this is going to be the biggest game of both of these teams, their careers. This is not going to be, you can't just walk out and win this game. So what do you tell your team,
and
though,
on top of
to get that
it,
one
it,
little
it,
bitty
it,
edge over?
No, there is, like, what's really weird when people grow up playing different sports, but whatever, in football, the greatest thing that could ever happen in your life is a Super Bowl, right? There is no greater other game, opportunity, whatever, blah, blah, blah. So this is the shiznit. This is the end all be all. There you go.
Yeah. So Viper, you're sitting down with your team, and you know you're on the same level, and it's, you know, you've got to be, you know, mistake free, and there really is no edge on either side. So what are you telling your team right now? Because got to go mental and will and desire at this point, right? That's going to get over the hump because you both have the same skills, right? I mean, what do you tell your team in a game like this?
Well, I mean, as hard as it is, what I've learned over the years and listening to a lot of different coaches who've won championships, the thing you're trying to do, which is very difficult, is you're trying to normalize the game as much as possible. You're trying to prepare the same way. I mean, well, like I think about the speech that Dan Campbell gave after beating the Buccaneers. He said, two more games and a bye week. I mean, that's perfectly stated. So that's what this is. You play your championship, conference championship game. You get an off week, and then you play another game. And that's coaches being smart, saying, hey, we've got to normalize this as much as possible. We've got to prepare like we always prepare. We've got to behave like we always behave. And our habits have to be what they are. Obviously, that's the challenge. And everyone knows it's a Super Bowl. I mean, you can only normalize it so much. And there's plenty of distractions, and there's plenty of opportunities to be distracted. Like the drama this week, I don't know if you heard about this. There was drama this week on which team had which practice field. And I guess the UNLV field, I guess, was softer than the field that the Chiefs got to practice on. And I'm just like, I mean, that's what I mean. You're trying to normalize it as much as possible. And there's all these different kind of distractions that come in. And, you know, really what you're trying to do is you don't want to do anything special because that's when mistakes happen. That's when, you know, meltdowns happen. And things, just think about it, things you do normally because the situation's normal, when it becomes special or different, you stop doing those things. And sometimes those things that you stop doing, for example, securing the football when you run, you know, running the route, you know, back to the quarterback, where maybe that's what you did all year. Now you're not running back to the quarterback as much. You know, you're not communicating on defense when you're talking about switch offs on coverage. All those things have to keep happening because you played at a high enough level to get here. To change anything means risking not being at that high level anymore. And that's what I think the coaching staff is trying to do right now.
But Ed, but right before the game, you know, I don't think there's really anything you can tell the team, like, you're about ready to go on the field. I mean, you've done everything. You've said everything all season long. It's just now time
to execute.
Let's go to work. It's just time to
execute. Last game,
you know?
Yeah. Let's leave it all on the field. Yeah.
One for the Gipper, man.
And
I think both teams are going to be both mentally and physically prepared to play this game. That's why it's going to be such a good game. And we may not, I mean, I don't know. It could be really high scoring or it could be low scoring because, you know, the defenses could, both defenses could show up. And if they're both showing up, you know, but if both offenses show up.
Oh, no. I think the teams that are assembled today, this will be the best defensive or just a great Super Bowl performance that it will really be between the, what was it, the Rams and the Titans on that stretch out. I think that's what it's going to be, and I think it's going to be awesome.
Well, let me ask you guys this, around the horn here. Do we go into some OT? I mean, it could. I think we could. I mean, I think we're putting a couple of bucks down on it.
I can't see it going OT.
You can't see it going OT?
No.
Do you see it, Viper? Do you see it just the game when it's over? Is it decided or is it? Or they're close.
I honestly think this game's going to, you know, you talk about games where whoever has the ball last is going to win. I don't see this game being that. I think this game is going to be decided by which defense makes the critical stop. And that's hard to say with a Patrick Mahomes team, but the Chiefs are here because of the defense. The Chiefs spent all their recent glory. It's never been about their defense until now. This is a legitimate defense, and this defense has legitimately been the one that carried the team. I mean, look at all the drops the Chiefs offense had in the first half of the season. The defense kept the team in it.
Yes, but I will tell you about a lot of good teams that are in the playoffs is people don't realize a lot of their good defensive players have been out for most of the year. So at the end, they show up and you forgot about them. Oh, my goodness. Those teams make good runs. They always make good runs. Always.
No, I like. You were talking about Viper, and I said earlier, this game is going to have to be won by the defense because you know both offenses are going to be, they're going to be offense. So whoever can have the better defense, that's the only way you're going to win this game. I mean, both teams can score them, and we all see Mahomes. If you're going to beat them, you got to be ahead by a lot. Because you've got any time on the clock, you see the damage that he can cause with 14 seconds. And we all know what he can do with 1 minute. So you got to have, you know.
Well, and honestly, I think going into this, in my opinion, I always tend to, you know me, I tend to lean towards, you know, who's got the better quarterback. There's no question Patrick Mahomes is the better quarterback. I'm not even sure Brock Purdy is even the top five best player on his team. Maybe even number 10. There are so many players around Purdy that are better than him that is clearly a team effort by the 49ers.
No. Hey, Viper, I have a question for you about Brock Purdy. Mr. Irrelevant, does he kind of remind you of Joe Montana that it doesn't make sense and he just wins? Is he that guy?
Yes and no. Yes and no. I mean, you could argue that Montana was a product of the West Coast offense. That's a completely different show. But no, I don't think Montana was just a game manager. I really don't. And I think Brock Purdy's a game manager. That's what he is right now until he shows us differently. But I just think he's got so many tools around him, and he's playing in a system that really best. But really, I mean, are they here if Deebo Samuel is injured? Probably not. Are they here if they don't make the trade for Christian McCaffrey? Probably not. I mean, there's a lot of things that had to go right.
You are literally playing Patrick Mahomes and his weirdness against a really solid San Francisco team. A team. They are solid in every position.
Well,
it's,
you know,
it's
fun
to pull the
ball. And you're right, but what makes that team good is they play as a team. You don't have to be, and you're right, I mean, with Montana. I mean, he had a lot of, you know, criticism because, I mean, he's making phone calls, calling his wife during the middle of the game. Hey, is that John Candy? I mean, he was very, you know, loose and,
maybe,
you know, very free, but the team played as a team. And look, the Chiefs play as a team, too. So, yeah, that's why this game, I mean, that's why Brother X, he wouldn't even pick it because, and you're right, Seth, you know, you can't bet on this game. You got to do prop bets. You can't bet on this. You can guess, but I'm going with the 49ers because I hate the Chiefs, so that's what I'm doing.
Okay.
But anyway, before we run out of time.
Yes, and everybody is wondering, where is my pick on this game? I thought about it a lot. I think the 49ers are supposed to win this game. I think they really are supposed to win it. But
I think so too.
I got the Chiefs.
With the Chiefs. Okay, and Viper, who is your team and why?
Well, I do think it's going to be a close game. I don't think it's going to be a scoring fest. It's going to be very similar to the Ravens-Chiefs AFC Championship. It's going to come down to defense. It's going to come down to who is going to manage these offensive weapons on both sides of the ball better. Kansas City has the better quarterback. I think San Francisco's got more weapons on offense. But I just think the Chiefs' defense is really, really legit. I think it's going to boil down to two things. It's going to boil down to pressure on Brock Purdy. You know, Chris Jones up the middle is going to really cause a lot of havoc. It's going to come down to, can they pressure Patrick Mahomes? And if they can, does it really matter? Because if he can handle the Ravens' pass rush, ain't nothing San Francisco is going to do. San Francisco barely got to Jared Goff. Barely got to him. And honestly, if it weren't for two drops today, we're not talking about San Francisco. The Lions dropped the ball. San Francisco didn't stop them. The Lions stopped themselves. So after two games against the Packers and the Lions of not being very impressive, I don't know that San Francisco really has what it takes to beat a Super Bowl champion like the Chiefs with a great defense like they have. But it's all going to boil down to this. The corners, Legarius, Sneed, and McDuffie on Ayuk and Deebo Samuel. They're going to have to stop McCaffrey. They're going to have to somewhat load up in the box and stop the run and get McCaffrey under control. If they do, then it's going to boil down to the corners being open one-on-one, and they either have to cover and defend or they have to make sure that when Samuel and IU catch the ball, immediately. There can be no yards after catch. That's how you're going to win the game.
Yes.
I am here with you right now. And
McCaffrey is a big to-do. Oh, no.
Yep.
What's going to happen with McCaffrey? McCaffrey is going to get 100-plus yards is what McCaffrey's going to do. You're only hoping that it's total yards and not rushing yards. Because if McCaffrey gets 100-plus rushing yards, then he's got another 100 yards in the receptions. You don't want to see this. This is going to be terrible.
Oh, God.
Well, Viper, who'd you pick?
I'm with Seth, and I'm going with Kansas City to repeat. I just think they've got a lot of experience. They got the better quarterback. I think they've got the better statistical defense. And, I just think there's an awful lot of experience on that side of the on that sideline. After getting by the Ravens, I'm convinced. I think Kansas City's going to win it.
All right. And Lou, who's winning the Super Bowl and why?
49ers. I think 49ers have more of what the defense, you know, especially, you know, Brock and McCaffrey. I mean, it shows why that, you know, McCaffrey got, you know, one of the top player awards. It's going to be a close game, though. Don't get me wrong here. We're not going to see, you know, a one-sided game. We're not going to see, like, a very low, weak scoring game. I think, you know, with the defense that the Niners have, I think that they'll be able to overtake Kansas City Chiefs. Kansas City is getting a little bit more injury prone now, so I think that might work to the Niners' advantage.
Yeah. With both teams, I mean, you can make a legitimate argument for both of these teams to win. And, again, you've got the two best teams in the world that play football. Playing tomorrow, so but I'm going San Francisco because that's what I want. Wow. Well, anyway, as far as the stats go, right now me and Viper are at 8. Brother X is at 8 for the playoff, and Seth, you're in the rear with the beer at 3. But I came close to the Viper. I only missed you by 8 this year on the regular season, 151 to 159. So I'm catching up.
Let it close the gap.
And I improved 2. I improved 2. Over the last 3 years, I have improved by 2 every year. So next year, we'll see. We'll see what else I can do. But...
Yeah.
No, this is going to be, we're going to wrap this up. We've got a little bit early, 5 minutes early. but no, I think this is going to be definitely one of the best Super Bowls. It's built that way. But again, you were saying, Viper, it may not be that high scoring of a game. If 47.5 means already you're going to have at least 3 touchdowns per team. Plus another field goal, a couple field goals, and this and that. So if you think about it, that's a lot. 47 can be a lot. Or with both of these offenses, it'd be nothing. But I just don't see. Oh, man. I mean, I don't know what to see. But we'll find out. We'll find out Sunday. So. But other than that, I want to thank Lou, obviously, for coming in, Seth, and Viper. We've had some people in the chat room. We do get a lot of people that do listen and archive, some old friends of mine, so I want to thank you. This has been a great season. I thought one of the best seasons we've been in a long time. Nothing will beat a couple years ago with that phenomenal. That was 2021-22. That, wow, the playoffs on that, every game decided by 3. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, by a field goal. Every game was decided by a last-minute kick. That was beautiful. But this came out to be pretty good. We saw some blowouts. We saw a lot of good football. I'm looking forward to it. So, everybody, thank you for listening. And, you know, enjoy the game. Don't, if you're drinking, don't make sure you got somebody to take you home or whatever. Get home like I'm doing. I'm choking down my guacamole. I'm going to be drinking my beer, doing all kinds of stuff. And I'm going to have a lot of fun. So, thanks for listening, everybody. And we'll see you. And I just lost my voice. We'll see you back here next week. It's 6 p.m. on Saturday. Goodbye, everybody.